Welcome to The Edge Podcast. The Edge is the weekly youth service of Victory Family Center, and our heart is to see this generation encounter Jesus like never before. Now let's check out this week's sermon.
Now we're going to continue with part three on this series, King Dominate, all right? Turn to someone next to you and say, we're going to win, all right? And Pam did an awesome job last week. You reckon Pam did a good job last week? All right, someone should buy her a sleeping bag so that she can, you know, just zip herself up at night and sleep with her head under the covers. Anna can corroborate that she really does cover her head when she sleeps at night. Anna was a roomie when we were in KL, and Anna will testify that it is absolutely true. I want to read you a scripture we've been reading in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory. I thought you'd be a little bit more excited about that. Just try it again. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours, come on, through Christ who loved us. Right? That's what we've been saying over these last few weeks. We've been saying, hey, you know what? We're designed to win. God created us to dominate. He created us in His image. He created us to overcome through Him. We are more than conquerors. And last week, Pam talked about overcoming fear, right? And this week, we're actually going to spend a little bit of time getting into the Word and making it practical and talk about overcoming failure. Is that all right? We'll talk about overcoming failure. See, because one of the biggest things that stops us from moving forward in life is the fear of failure. And sometimes failure itself. You know, and it's interesting because we're actually a society and a culture that trains really hard to succeed. Would you agree with me? Like the whole system of education, the whole way that your life is planned, you know, it's designed to help you succeed. You know, some parents will buy a house somewhere so they can get you into the right kindergarten, so that it will open the door for you to go in the right primary school, so that you can go to the right secondary school, so you can pick the right course at poly or JC, so that you can go to the right uni. It's almost like your whole life you've been just trained and taught, hey, this is what you need to do to succeed. You got to do this to succeed. You got to do that to succeed. The way our system even, you know, pitches education, like, let me give you all the things you need so that you can succeed in that exam. Let me equip you with all the right tools so you can succeed. And that's important, don't get me wrong. I think it's important to learn how to do something well. I think it's important to succeed. Right? Do well, succeed. But here's the thing. While we're a society and a culture that trains super hard to succeed, sometimes we're not sure what to do when we don't. We might be very good at knowing how to do something well, knowing how to succeed, but sometimes we're not particularly trained or taught how to deal with failure. And it's almost like success is the only option, and, oh, if you didn't succeed, I have no idea what to do, but, you know, bye. We just move on with the guys to succeed. And today, I want to look at a couple of scriptures and a couple of things that will help us frame, how do we respond when we fail? Because here's the reality, young person. Some of you, maybe you've been dominating your whole life. You have no idea what failure feels like. Good for you. You're about to find out. But for most of us, I'm going to say, I felt failure before. Yeah. Might have been in an exam or a test. You got back a score. You walked out feeling confident, and then you got your paper back, and you're like, why is there only one digit on it instead of two? You know? Something's wrong. Did someone miss out a zero on my paper behind the first number? You know, sometimes we try out an idea and it flops. Sometimes you try to shoot your shot with that guy or that girl and you, like, you know, you drag out some late night text conversation. You just, like, accidentally send a text that says, like, I like you. Oh, sorry, I accident. Then the person replies, like, oh, no, I don't. And you're like, ooh, failure. Right? It's felt a bit raw for some people here. It's okay, we'll pray for you after the service. God will heal your heart. Or maybe you, I don't know, some of you in the sports, you tried a shot you were so confident of, but you didn't even hit the board. All you got was air, but in a bad way. You know, just completely missed. Or falling flat on your face in front of your friends or chasing balls. I'm like, so we failed. how about who's experienced failure? Well, I've experienced failure before. I remember my sec 4 year, my mid-year L1R5 was like 36. It was pretty bad. I chopped it down by like 66% by the end of 69% something by the end of the year. But it was real bad. It was 36 in mid-year. It's terrible. We fail. But what we want to do today is to learn how to respond when we fail. Because it's not about avoiding failure. It's about knowing how to respond when we fail. In Joshua chapter 7, tells this story of the nation of Israel. See, moments before this story, Israel just came off the back of a massive victory. Nation of Israel marches to the city of Jericho. Jericho's this massive walled city. Like, the walls are thick enough for people to walk on. God tells them, just march around the city, you're gonna win. So they do. They march around the city, they scream, and the walls come down. And Israel experiences this tremendous, epic victory at Jericho. And they're coming out going like, Rock of Ages, King on the throne. And they're going out like, you hear a battle cry like, yeah! And then they come upon this town called Ai. Caleb used to say Ai. Town of Ai. And Caleb used to tell this story about Achan. It's Achan. and what they say is this. In Joshua chapter 7 verse 2, it says, Joshua sent his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth Aven. And when they returned, they told Joshua, there's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai, since there's so few of them. Don't make all our people struggle to go up there. So they're facing this enemy that should be a walkover. Should be an easy win. They should dominate this. Then it says here, in chapter 7 verse 4, so approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. Come on, say failure. Say bang. They were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events. Their courage melted away. Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, bowed face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening. Joshua cried out, "Why did you bring us across the river if you're going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side. Lord, what can I say now that Israel has fled from its enemies? For when the Canaanites and all the other people living in the land hear about it, they're going to surround us, they're going to wipe our name off the face of the earth. And what will happen to the honor of your great name?" Let's just pray for a second, and we're gonna dig in this a little bit more. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for what you've already done. But Father, we pray today that through your word, you will give us a lens and an understanding and a perspective of what we've just experienced you doing in our hearts today. God, we don't want to live our lives just based off feeling or experiences. God, we want to live our life based off the truth of your word. So let your word begin to teach us and instruct us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, come on, you can do a little bit better than that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give it up for Aaron. Woo! Thank you, Aaron. You can come back in like 5 minutes. So don't get too comfortable. All right. Now, I'm just read this story where Israel just falls flat on their face. Okay, they're supposed to win, so it's an easy win, but they completely fail. Utter, total failure. And what we can learn from here is that you see, Joshua and the Israelites have failed, and not only did they fail, there was this sense of, what if we fail again? And again, and again, and again, and again. Straight away, these guys go to doomsday scenario. They lost one battle, but they're like, we're going to be wiped off the face of the earth. No one is even going to remember that we even exist. God, nobody's going to worship you because we're all going to die. Like, these guys went to worst case scenario like in an instant. There's a fear of failure that's very real here, right? And, you know, people fail for a huge variety of reasons. Sometimes people fail because you're just horrible at planning. Like, just horrible. You don't plan how to study. You don't plan your revision times. And then 3 days before the exam, you realize you have 36 chapters, but only like 72 hours. And it just doesn't work out. Because technically 72 hours, 36 chapters is like 2 hours per chapter. I know, but that's if you don't eat or sleep or do anything else other than study. bad planning, right? Sometimes you fail because you don't have a backup plan. It's like you have one plan and your one plan fails and that's it. You know, it's done. Sometimes you fail because you have no idea what you're doing. You have no goal. You have no aim. You have no direction. You have nothing you're shooting toward. And sometimes you don't even know you failed because you had no goal, you know. Sometimes you listen to terrible advice and you fail. It's like people who listen to advice about dating from people whose relationships are a complete mess. It's like, yes, of course you're going to fail because why take advice from the dude that is getting it all wrong, you know. Sometimes we fail because we try to go all ourselves. Sometimes we fail because, you know, we're just bad at something. There's lots of reasons why we fail. But today, I want to challenge you on the point that it's not about whether we fail. It's about what we do when we fail. And see, sometimes when we fail, what begins to happen, and you see it with these guys in Israel, is that failure actually begins to attack our sense of worth and identity. Failure attacks our sense of worth and identity. You see, what happened to these guys was the moment they met with defeat, they went from, we're going to conquer these guys, it's just going to take a few men to crush them. It's like really confident, lots of identity, lots of self-worth. So like, we're going to be wiped off the face of the planet, we're not going to exist anymore, nobody's going to remember the nation of Israel was around. In a moment, that identity of we're the children of God, we're walking in victory, gets erased by one failure. And you see that in many other examples throughout the Bible. There's a king named Saul in 1 Samuel. We talk about him lots of times. And there's this one time that he's out with his men. And he, as a king, he's not supposed to offer sacrifices by himself. But he does that. He goes and he breaks the rules and he offers sacrifices. And he says, well, I saw my men slipping away. So because I didn't want to look, I got to quickly like look like we're doing something spiritual and offer a sacrice. And why? Because there was his identity as a warrior king was suddenly being threatened, and he was so afraid of failure that he disobeyed God to try and not fail. But see, here's the thing. When failure attacks our sense of worth and identity. And what happens is this, you see, when our identity is tied to success, our security is destroyed by failure. When our identity is tied to success, our security is destroyed by failure. That we're unable to handle it when we mess up at something. We're unable to move forward. We're unable to bounce back. We're unable to face someone when we fail at something. We're not even able to admit that we fail. What happens when we allow our self-worth and identity to be determined by our successes is the reverse thing happens where we begin to allow fear and disappointment and discouragement to paralyze us. Described it for Israel. It said that the Israelites are paralyzed with fear at this turn of events. The courage melted away. That they were unable to move forward. In fact, if you ask for some of these guys, I mean, they were still in the battle, but they were like, you know what? Forget it. Give up. Let's go. Run. They felt it's not even worth to try again. And if we're being real, there's many of us, especially for some of us, as we raise our hands in those moments earlier, that's exactly how we felt. I've tried something. I failed. Forget it. It's not worth even trying again. It's not worth going again. But what I want to challenge you on today is that how we view failure determines what we get from it. How we view failure determines what we're going to get from it. Now, I was having a conversation with Wei Xuan, like, I think 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe, something like that. And he was just sharing, like, hey, you know, one of the things our generation struggles with is failure. Like, we feel like we don't know how to overcome failure. And he's like, hey, I got some really cool thoughts that I wrote out. Like, can I just send that over? I was like, yeah, sure, send it over. So these are some of his thoughts you're about to hear, right, that begin to talk about a good perspective to have on failure. First of all, failure educates us. Right, failure has something to teach us. When you fail, what actually happens is it begins to highlight your areas of weakness. It begins to highlight your areas of lack. It begins to highlight things that you don't know. When you fail, it shows you what not to do. I mean, heaps of times we run, you know, these Elevate Life event workshops for youth ministries and stuff, and we'll often tell them, hey, like, come learn, come, we'll teach you how to do connect groups, we'll teach you how to do services. And it's not that we have it all figured out, it's not that we know how to do everything, it's that we've tried enough things to know what doesn't work, and I can tell you all the things that don't work, so you avoid them, and here's the few things that we tried to do work, and so stick to these, you know. It's learning from failure. It's learning from things that don't work. And this happens with Israel. See, in Joshua chapter 7, it says, the Lord says to Joshua, this is after you get defeated. God begins to say, get up. Why are you lying on your face? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They've stolen things I've commanded must be set apart. That is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. For Israel has now been set apart for destruction. I'll not remain with you any longer unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart for destruction. See, what happened was Israel lost, but they didn't know why they lost. They were defeated, but they didn't know why they were defeated. But in that state of failure, God begins to point out, hey, you know what? Let me highlight this area that you were not aware of before. Let me make known to you this blind spot that someone disobeyed me. Someone stole stuff that was not meant to be taken. And that's why you failed. God began to educate the nation of Israel on what was missing, on what they had missed out on. And I believe that's a question that we can ask ourselves when we fail. When we mess up, don't blame your teacher. Don't blame your friends. Don't blame your schedule. Don't blame your connect group leader. No, when we fail, ask, well, what did I miss out? What did I forget? What do I not know? See, failure educates us, right? But also, I mean, failure can also motivate you if you view it that way. There's some of you, like, you play, you know, you're on some kind of game, like, you know, you play, like, Call of Duty or whatever, Legends, and then you lose a game, and you're like, you know what, that's it, I'm going to stay up all night until I win something. And you're up to, like, 4, right? Why? Because you're like, no, I'm gonna win. Allow it to motivate you. Allow it to make you go like, ah, I didn't do it this time, I'm going to do it the next, right? 1,000,000, 100K? Yes? No? No, never again. Give up. Right? You allow your failures to motivate you. What is the school thing? I remember my sister, if you've been to the encounter, she shares this story of some econs teacher like ragging on her. And she takes that failure and she decides to top her level in econs. It motivated her, right? More than one thing motivated her, but failure was one of the things that motivated her. She's like, I'm gonna overcome. I'm gonna beat this. But it's not just educating and motivating, but through failure, actually, failure can actually cultivate things in us. See, because sometimes, sure, God can give you the breakthrough, God can give you the miracle, but sometimes God wants to work out something inside of us. Sometimes God wants to use failure to shape our character. Sometimes God wants to use failure to teach us a little bit of humility. Sometimes God wants to use failure to bring a bit of maturity in our lives. And if we're intentional to view failure through these points, through these perspectives, we're going to actually walk out of it with something instead of, oh, poor me, I failed, boo-hoo. If you're going to fail, you might as well get something out of it. Just saying, you know, you might as well learn something if you're going to fail. But I asked Aaron to come back. I told you it was 5 minutes, so don't get comfortable. Yeah, that's right. I want to give you a few simple steps on how we overcome failure. Is that okay? So it's going to give you 4 simple steps on how we're going to overcome failure. Right, the first thing is this. First thing is you're going to confront the failure. You're going to confront the failure. See, it's very easy for us to plaster over or ignore times that we fail. It's very easy for us to go like, oh, that didn't work out. Okay, let's just not talk about it anymore. Oh, that outreach didn't work. Let's just pretend like it never happened. You know, that paper that I took, like, let's just not talk about it anymore. The idea that I brought up and got shot down, let's just pretend like I never gave that idea. It's real easy for us to try and ignore a failure, to try and skirt around a failure, to try and avoid talking about it. But a failure that you avoid is a missed opportunity to learn. You can't grow from a failure that you fail to recognize. You can't grow from a failure that you're not willing to confront. What's going to happen is it's going to remain a blind spot in your life. It's going to remain a point of weakness in your life. It's going to remain something that you don't learn from. And time again, it's going to keep tripping you up if you keep ignoring it. You've got to confront the failure. So what I love about the people of Israel in this moment is, sure, they got defeated, but they didn't just go like, ah, let's just pretend like it never happened. Moving on, you know. No. They came together as a community, and they began to go like, what went wrong? God gives them some instructions. God tells them some things to do, and they began to go on this whole journey and process of discovering what was the mistake, who made it. But there had to be, it started from a decision, a willingness to confront the failure, to stare at this defeat in the place, and as a community, as a nation, go, guys, we failed. We were defeated. Because sure, they only sent 2,000 or 3,000 men out. The rest of the nation of Israel, the hundreds of thousands, million people that were left behind, they didn't know how bad the defeat was. They didn't know what had happened out there. It could have been easy for the guys coming back to kind of sugarcoat it a bit and be like, oh, you should have seen their walls. They were so high. Oh, it was a real difficult battle. It was closely pitched. We lost some guys. They lost some guys. But it's okay. We're just going to move on to the next town instead. We're going to leave this one alone. They could have easily just kind of tried to skirt it or avoid it. But no. Nation of Israel went, we were defeated. We failed. Let's confront this. Let's assess this. Let's deal with this. Secondly, I don't want this to happen if we want to overcome failure. Is we got to recognize it's what you do, it's not who you are. That the failure is something you did, sure, but the failure is not who you are. I feel like some of us here today that we actually carry a label or a tag of failure. It's what we're praying about earlier. That maybe you've been told you're a failure. You've been told all you'll do is fail. But like, all God does is win. All I'll do is fail. Maybe that's the label or tag that's been placed on you by someone else. Maybe you placed it there on yourself. And you feel like no matter what I try, I always lose. I always feel I can never get anything right. Boo-hoo, poor me. And it actually stops you from trying. It stops you from reaching out. It stops you from stepping out in faith. It stops you from doing great things. But I believe God wants to rip that tag off today. I believe He wants to set you free. But you've got to recognize, young person, that sure, we fail, but that's what you do, not who you are. See, the nation of Israel needed to recognize that even though in this instance they failed in this battle, it did not mean that they were not God's chosen people. It did not mean that they were not children of God. It did not mean that God's promises to them were made to the wrong people. No, that failure wasn't supposed to be who they were. It was something they did. And God goes, hey, you know what? There is a way back. Repent, do this, do that. And sure, all the promises and all things that I have for you, they're still going to come to pass. But you're going to change what you do. But that isn't who you are. But number three, you're going to learn how to run to God. See, the response sometimes, the reaction sometimes once we fail is to run away. Just from everything and everyone. You don't do well in results, you disappear. Just go hide in a corner in the library. All your friends are like, hey, where's this person? Where's that person? I don't know, they disappeared. I don't know where. And you're just like crying in a corner in the library all by yourself. You run away. But the challenge here is we gotta run to God when we fail. In verse 7 of chapter 7, it goes, Joshua cried out, oh sovereign Lord. In fact, before that, it says Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothes in dismay, threw dust on their heads, bowed face down to the ground. I want you to notice this. Can we throw up verse? Yeah, there we go. Dust on their heads, bowed face down to the ground before where? The ark of the Lord until evening. The ark symbolized God's presence. The ark symbolized the presence of God with Israel. That was the place to worship. That was where God's presence was. It was the physical symbolism of the presence of God. And when they failed, where did they go? They ran to the presence of God and they stayed there till evening. Young person, can I tell you, in a moment where you feel overwhelmed, in a moment where you feel like you failed, can you run to the presence of God, not away from the presence of God? Even if you failed in things of purity and righteousness, don't run to the presence of God. On your worst day, that's not the moment to ghost your connect group leader. on your worst day, that's not the moment to go, I'm just going to stay home and sit on my couch and watch The Edge online. No, no, that's the moment to get to your connect group. That's the moment to run to the building. That's the moment to show up on Sunday morning. Because on your worst day, we're going to run to God. We're going to run to His presence. We're going to say, God, I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know what's happening. But God, You need to speak to me. You need to encourage me. You need to move in my heart. I'm going to run to Your presence. Because in this presence is breakthrough, is freedom. In this presence is everything that we need. We learn to run to Him. Lastly, Joshua 8 says, then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai. For I've given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, his land. You'll destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its king. But this time you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the town. In verse 3, I love how it says this. It says, so. Everyone say so. This makes you sound smart. So. All right. So Joshua and all the fighting men set out to attack Ai. Joshua chose 30,000 of his best warriors and sent them out at night. So what I love about the nation of Israel and their response was they were willing to go again. They were willing to go again. They were willing to go right back to their place of failure. They're willing to go right back to the city where they were defeated just days before. And they were willing to go, you know what, God, if You say go again, let's go. Let's go again. Let's try again. Right back to the place we were last defeated at. Right back to the scene of our last defeat. Let's go again. You want to overcome failure? Go again. Go again. If you're a connect group leader and tried launching before and it was rough, your connect group didn't work out, couldn't launch that group, can I challenge you today? Sure, take time, let God stir your faith, receive vision, go again. Maybe you tried to preach the gospel on the street to someone, you tried to pray for healing and nothing happened. I get it, it's discouraging, it's frustrating. I can't tell you the number of times I prayed for people just like Caleb in the exact same kind of thing and nothing happened. Like so many times. But guess what? Let's go again. Let's try again. Every time you don't try, you will never succeed. If you try, at least got a chance. Let's go again. Go again, go again, go again. Let's try again. God's called you to it. Go again. Will we be willing to be generation of young people? Like, sure, when we fail, we learn how to confront that failure. We learn how to recognize it's not who we are, it's just what we do. But then we run to God. Let Him speak to us. Let Him fill us with faith. And we go again. We try that exam again. We plan out that study schedule again. We try that relationship with our mom or our dad or our family again. We go again with that friendship. We go again with preaching the gospel. We go again with that connect group outreach. We go again hitting the streets. We go again. And see how God moves even in times where we fail.
And that's it for this week. We hope you've been inspired and challenged to reach your generation for Jesus. Do check out www.theedge.org for more information, updates, and resources.